Outdoor ministry is people ministry. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about our people. We're going to talk about our audiences, identify them, and talk about the best gift that we can give them. We're also going to hear a conversation that Anna from our team had with Brent Seeks, executive director at Badlands Ministries in Western North Dakota. Welcome to the Sacred Playgrounds podcast, where we dive into theology, research and insights, and practical wisdom for outdoor ministry leaders today. I'm your host, Jared Rendell, camp enthusiast and part of the Sacred Playgrounds team. This podcast features Dr. Jake Sorensen, a scholar, practitioner, author, and founder of Sacred Playgrounds, who's helping camp leaders think more deeply about outdoor ministry and the impact that it's making. Wonder with us what God might have in store for you at your Sacred Playground. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the playground. We're back. Jake, we're back. Another episode of the podcast.
We're back. It's great to be back.
Welcome back. Yeah, we got to do some different things. We got to hear from some different people and hear some different stories and perspectives and things like that. And camp is a place of story, and it's a place of people, which is what actually leans into what we're talking about today. Like, we are in the business, the experiential business of people. We're a people business. All that we're doing is focused on people. We've said before on here about why and who being really important first questions to ask, and that who cannot be forgotten, because knowing our people, knowing our audience makes all the difference. Makes all the difference for the choices we make, makes all the difference for the uniqueness of our own identity and offering and opportunities. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about knowing our people and, you know, kind of identifying our audiences and then the difference that can make.
Yeah, it's so important, you know, with the ministries that we offer. We're not just offering some generalized ministry. We're offering specific ministries for specific people. We have specific priorities. We have specific core values. And leaning into those things and what our constituency wants is really important. And so I had a conversation with a consultant the other day. You know, I've been traveling around. You know, I got to go to several different camps, right? and I've just been meeting lots of different people. And so I had a great conversation with a consultant that I met, and he was relaying a story to me about a camp that was in conversation with him about wanting to do a capital campaign. You know, they had paid down their debt, and they're like, "Oh, we're ready to do a capital campaign now, and we're gonna do a new building. What we need is some new cabins." And he asked him, "Okay, well, why do you need new cabins? Are your people asking for those things?" And he kept asking these questions, and it turned out they didn't really know what they needed or what their people wanted. They didn't really have a plan. They just had an idea that it's time to do a new capital campaign, so let's do it. You know, sometimes boards of directors will do that. It's time to do a new one. We haven't done one for a while, and so let's engage our donors and do this. And so he really encouraged them to take a step back and start with a strategic plan. Start by actually going before your constituents and listening to them, and then develop a plan of where you're going and why you're going there, rather than just saying, "Okay, it's time to start a new capital campaign." And so that was a really interesting and eye-opening story, you know. And I've heard that a lot of times from different directors about trying to figure out what should we do next, and they'll come up with these new ideas based on sometimes on intuition or sometimes on what we did this 10 years ago. And so now we're going to try this again.
Right. Especially that one. We're in the people business, and there are some really key things that we can do in order to take care of our people.
I think recognizing who are our people, who are the different audiences, who are our constituents, you know, that's really important. A lot of times we get siloed in our ministries and we start to think of, you know, specific groups. Rather than say, "Oh, wow, we have a lot more people that are interested in and invested in the ministries that we do." And so, you know, obviously, summer camps really minister directly to these campers. And so that's a really important audience that we have. But we sometimes need to remember that it's not just the camper, it's their entire family that we're ministering to. And so we've talked about that in the past in terms of connecting with the parents and trying to bridge that gap between camp and home. So you don't just think in the week of camp, you think much past that. How are we ministering to parents and their families? And in fact, the primary constituents are the parents.
Right.
You know, we talked about this in the past with focusing on mom. You know, And so campers are a huge audience. Parents are a huge audience. Of course, our summer staff members are, mm-hmm. are a big audience that we have, that we minister to and with. The retreat guests that come to our place. Sometimes they're repeat retreat guests, and sometimes they're there just once. And so they become an audience as well. The congregational leaders, you know, we've talked about that, the importance of that holy handoff in the past. Mm-hmm. So connecting with those congregational leaders and making sure that we recognize these folks as important constituents and their congregational members. And so these are, you know, two very similar but distinct audiences. When we think of mm-hmm. the leaders and the congregational members, we think about our volunteers and our donors, people that connect with the ministry, but aren't necessarily, you know, attendees or participants. They don't pay fees to be there. They care about the ministry. They want us to succeed. And so they're giving of their time. They're giving of their money. So these are important constituents that we have to make sure that we're attending to and listening to. Our alumni, campers that have been there in the past, retreat members that have been there in the past, summer staff that have been there in the past. How are we connecting with them and making sure they stay engaged? And then the community at large. We're embedded in specific contexts, and the surrounding community is another group that we need to make sure that we're serving and listening to as well. What are their needs? Because a lot of times, you know, we just focus on the people that are coming and that are there. There are camp people, but there are a lot of people that maybe are choosing not to come or haven't heard. How can we invite those people in too? And so remembering these different communities is really important. And so it's not just, you know, our campers and their families. It's much larger than mm-hmm. that. It's our guests. It's our donors. It's our constituency. And so thinking about how can we best serve these people and thinking of them in different audiences really is important. And it can help us prioritize how we spend our money, the programs that we do, and so forth.
We're so good, and churches are like this too. We're so good at being generalists and saying sort of, everybody's welcome and it's all things to all people. And I feel like we keep learning in ministry and even outdoor ministry specifically that there's uniqueness to our own identity and uniqueness to our audiences. Because you just, you know, in a minute there, you know, lifted up these specific audiences and they've got their own niche because they have a different experience. They engage with us in a different way, which means that our opportunities and for one, the ways that we message and communicate with them, both the spaces that we do that in and the words that we use, all of that makes a difference when we get specific in our audiences. So it feels like step one here, even before we figure out how to listen or what to do with what we hear, is to identify them nice yes. and clear. And you just made this list. Write that down, folks. Get your audiences down so that you know some things about them. And I would even say maybe take the next step of, you know, if you sort of put them in a column, say some things about them, right? What makes them a unique audience to you? What are the ways that they engage? Those are a few of the key questions. How do they engage? How do we communicate? How do we connect? Write them down and get some things about them down so you can start to understand them before we take any kind of action.
And remember that they're contextualized audiences. They're not a generalized demographic group. These are specific people. They're your people that you have connected with, that you have access to. So talking with them and hearing from them what's important about your ministry that they want to see more of or that they want you to lean into. Because here's what a lot of times camps and retreat centers do is they say, okay, we're really good at this, but we want to expand in this area. And so they take time and attention away from some of the things that they do really, really well, and they put it towards something else that they aspire to do well in. And it turns out that their constituency is much more interested in the things that they do really well. And they would be better served leaning into those specific things rather than distracting and trying to go towards something else. And so, you know, I think of this camp director again that I talked with. This was years ago, but thinking of generalizations and things like that. This camp director had in his mind that young people these days, in order to connect with them, music is such a powerful way to do that. And they're really into praise music and praise bands. So what we need is a praise band. Now, this was a decentralized camp, right? It thrived on things like hiking trips together and cooking sure. over the fire and small group experiences. And he had this vision of bringing everybody together for this big worship band experience. And so put a lot of resources into getting this worship band thing going, because he had in his head that kids these days want that. And this will bring more kids in. And what that did was it took away from some of the other pieces that were really powerful sure. and important about that particular camp. And so rather than generalizing and saying, oh, kids these days want this, or research says that, you know, this is what this demographic wants. Look at your specific people. Ask, what do they value most about our place and our camp? And so this is, again, this is the fallacy of the technology, because we say, oh, young people these days, they're more technological than previous generations, which is true. Of course it's true.
Sure.
Right? They're more technologically savvy. They want their cell phones handy more frequently. All of those things are very true. And it's also true that they see camp as a place to unplug from technology. And so you don't say, recognize this, their technological savvy, and then allow everybody to have cell phones at camp, because that takes away from one of the primary benefits. And so we can get into trouble by generalizing rather than being very specific about who our people are, what our people want in our specific place and time.
I was talking to a camp that, and it's kind of funny what the motivations are for these actions sometimes, and funding and money obviously is one of those. They were looking at even potentially not holding summer camp because it wasn't profitable year over year. Right. So they hadn't. So it was like, okay, we're not making money on summer camp, but adults have more money. Maybe it's time to do this kind of, you know, renovation to this space so that we'll get more adults there and we'll get our money. And this, you know, we gotta create more margin at the expense of, to your point, at the expense of the heart of their ministry, summer camp for kids. Yep. They eventually finally heard and learned is that people were not anywhere near as interested in that if it meant the expense of their, you know, of their kids having this faith-centered, experiential, on-site experience. And they had done a capital campaign around that. They had done a small fundraising campaign around that. And it was less than 5% of the money that had been given was allocated toward that specific thing that they thought was going to be, you know, this
yep.
more profitable retreat kind of space. People didn't want it. And they yep. and they said so with their pocketbooks in how they gave.
You got it. I've heard that story over and over again.
Right.
You know, and it often is with summer camps, you know, that are really important to people, and they're primarily summer camps, and they want to expand their retreat business. And so they really try to lean into that. And sometimes that's at the expense of the summer camp ministries, and they lose some of their constituency and donor
yeah.
that really want them to focus instead on the summer camp programs and improving those things. And right. it can be the opposite too, of course. You know, with retreat and conference centers, if that's the main thing of your ministry and that's the main thing that your constituency sees and wants, then leaning into that can be important too. And so really listening is important. What do your people need? What do they see as very important, the things that you offer? And how can you lean into those things? And so when I ask questions of the constituency, you know, one of the things I always like to ask is, what do you value most about our ministries? Because that really gives you a good sense mm-hmm. of what they're going to give for and what you should lean into. And the other question that I always like to ask is, how can we better serve you? You know, and you'll get some good ideas there about how mm-hmm. about some of your growing areas. And so there's lots of different ways that you can structure these questions. You can do listening groups. I really like to do that. Some of your key donors or your key constituency have a listening session where several of them are there, and you listen to what they have to say about what you're doing well and not. Making sure that you're including all the different audiences is really important. The other way to do it, of course, is to do a survey. You know, and we've done that before with groups. We always like to do parent surveys and things for our summer camp audiences to make sure we're doing summer camp really mm-hmm. well. But it's not just focused on summer camp. And not just focused on, you know, parents and campers, but our other constituents as well. What do they see as important in our ministries? How can we better serve those folks? And so doing an intentional listening of all these different audiences is really an important thing that we can do. And that helps lead us towards things like strategic planning, site planning. If you have a major gift that's coming in, rather than just say, oh, what yeah. we need to spend it on is a new dining hall, you know, that might not be what you need. You know, so really doing some intentionally listening is very important for our ministries.
That's the biggest gift that we can offer people. And I think that's true on a bigger scale. I've heard, you know, coaches and psychologists and things like that, even that with our constant input to step back and actually listen to someone is one of the biggest gifts that you can give them. And I think that idea carries through to our ministries. When we have our specific audiences, the biggest gift that we can give them is to listen well to them.
They want agency. right? We've talked about this before. Camp is participatory. You talked about it being relational, and these relationships really matter. Camp is participatory, and everybody wants to have a say in it. And so inviting them to the table and giving them some agency and saying, we're going to base our decisions in part on what you tell us, can be really, really important. And so I encourage everybody to keep in touch with your constituents, keep in touch with your donors, keep in touch with all of those people that you serve and the people that you aspire to serve in your community and say, how can we better serve you? And doing this on a regular basis is critically important.
Let's listen to one story of a camp that did this. Anna from our team got to sit down with Brent Seeks and talk about how their ministry listened to their donors, listened to their constituents, listened to their guests, and what they learned out of that, what happened and the steps that they took in their ministry based off of that.
Well, hello, everybody. I am here visiting with Brent Seeks from Badlands Ministry in North Dakota. He is the executive director there. Brent grew up in Texas, and there he also worked as a VP of sales and marketing. And while a participant in a community Bible study, he heard someone there say they spent their whole life climbing the ladder, only to realize that the ladder was leaning up against the wrong wall. And that led you to consider a call to outdoor ministry. And Brent has now been at Badlands Ministry for 22 years. So thank you for visiting with us today.
My pleasure.
So Brent, tell us the story of your camp. What is Badlands Ministry all about?
Yeah, Badlands Ministries has been around. We're going to approach our 100th year anniversary in 2028. So it's not too far away, but it's a long time that the camp has been around. And it's unique in that it's been in southwestern North Dakota all those years, but it's moved a few times. And I was actually part of one of those moving experiences, which I may talk a little bit about later, but that's very unique. It has served those people well. It has kind of morphed into a more of an ecumenical camp from maybe just more of a traditional Lutheran camp. And I've really appreciated that about it as well. But it's kind of nestled in along the Little Missouri River with some beautiful buttes. And we've been on the site that we're at now for the past 15 years. And it's unique in that we kind of were able to design it and build it and create it based on what we expected our future to be. So that's been fun.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So tell me about a success for Badlands that you want to celebrate with people listening to this podcast.
Yeah, you bet. I think really the uniqueness to me is camps go through cycles, and sometimes they're in great years, sometimes they struggle. And there's even stories of Badlands Ministries in the 70s that they met, the board did, to even decide whether or not they were going to stay open. And sometimes you hear stories about people in power or treasurers embezzling money from the camp. And that story went that the Jorien Burkhart, the treasurer at the time, was actually sneaking money into the camp just to keep the doors open, keep things going. And so it had some kind of lean years, and I was blessed to come in 2001. And when I showed up at the camp, I was only a director for just about a month. And there was a foundation that has some land near the camp, and they kind of approached us and said they wanted to purchase where the camp was currently. And it was strange, but through some negotiations and things, it was kind of determined that it was time for the camp maybe to pick up and move and try this bold move. So there's a moving in faith campaign. And if I had known before coming to North Dakota, I never would have come to be part of it. But it really was one of the highlights of my life. And it was a great experience for the camp. And it gave the camp not just the opportunity to have these newer facilities and a place that you have input in. And instead of 30 acres, we had 188 acres. But it really got folks energized and reinvested in the ministry. And that's the part that I've been most grateful for.
Wow. That's a pretty unusual story to actually get up and move locations.
It was strange. And, a lot of buildings were new. There was one building in particular that was the old lodge that folks said, you can't have camp without moving that building. Or others would say, you're not going to move that old piece of junk, are you? And so it ended up that a committee kind of raised the funds specific to that building and remodeled it and did some things. So some of the old history came with it. So
So the building came along.
The building made it, yep.
The building came along. All right. Thank you. What is a challenge that you are addressing right now?
Yeah, I just was at a workshop here at this conference a little bit, and we talk a lot about inclusivity and what that means. And different of the parts of the country are different. And we serve a very broad constituency with a lot of different viewpoints. And so on our board in particular, we've been intentional about trying to be reflective of the people that we serve. So we have folks that you would consider very maybe progressive and liberal on that spectrum. And we certainly have folks that would be considered very conservative on that spectrum. And so that's also reflective of the folks that we serve. And so that's challenging, but at the same time, it really keeps us mindful that, you know, the ministry that we want to be a part of, it's open. We wanted to keep it open.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think that's not unique to your setting. I think many of us are trying to figure out how we can be more inclusive in our ministries. You know, we're all working on that together. So Brent, you've worked with Sacred Playgrounds, and specifically you worked with us about a guest and donor survey. Can you talk a little bit about, how and why you did that? What did you do with the information that you gained in that process?
No, it's thank you for asking. So one of the things we were kind of thinking about is we're in a good place. I talk about ebb and flow and good times and bad times for camps. And I feel like Badlands Ministries felt like we were in a very good place, you know, both in terms of programs and number of campers and finances and things. And we really wanted to figure out where we're going to go next. And part of that has to do with also us being blessed to receive an estate gift that we knew was kind of coming. And so we had some funds in as well. And it's like, what do you want to do with all that? So what we realized is we wanted to get feedback from our constituency. In this case, we wanted to hear back from the donors that supported the camp, from our constituents and users of the camp, and really ask some specific questions that we maybe thought we knew the answers to, but we really wanted to see what they had to say. And then we wanted to use that data to help us make kind of informed decisions about how we wanted to move forward.
Yeah. So did you find anything that surprised you?
You know, a lot of it was reinforcing things that we hoped, which is good. And it was a very positive survey, which we were glad to see. It shouldn't have surprised us how the emphasis was on the summer camp ministry we did, but that was a good reminder because a lot of times there's a lot of innovation and change needs to happen, which is great, but you don't want to ever do it at the expense of kind of what your core mission, what you're really about. So it kind of helped us keep things in check and let that be the litmus test as we made future decisions, even in terms of prioritizing building projects. It was, well, what is going to aid and help and benefit our summer camp program the most? That was helpful and really was a good chance for our board when we got that data back to have a retreat and discuss it and look at some things. There were a few surprises, you know, there are areas specifically communication and maybe some ideas that we could have to make things better in the way that we communicate and share information with our constituents. So it was helpful.
I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah. I mean, that's part of why we do what we do at Sacred Playground, so that you can get the information that your people have to help you decide, prioritize. And it sounds like it was successful in that goal.
Absolutely. And, you know, I serve on a school board as well. And so a big push now is getting data and not just data, but using it to set goals and to make decisions based on that. And you have to have a tool to do that. And that, working with you all was a wonderful experience, and it really gave us the information that helps us move forward.
Great. All right. So one final question for you. What is something that is giving you hope right now?
Yeah, I think whenever I come to a conference like this, I mean, I'm excited to see the group of people that are doing what we do. And it's not easy. And sometimes it can be overwhelming when there's a lot of responsibility, a lot of weight in the importance of what we do. And when you're at a place like this and you're around people that love outdoor ministry and you realize that it's a shared experience and there's the resource of other minds and folks with great energy and things like that, that always gives me hope and not just outdoor ministries, but it really gives me hope for the church. So,
great. Yeah. I heard a couple people here say, we're in this together.
That's absolutely right.
That's it. So thank you so much, Brent. We really appreciate your time and sharing a little bit about what's happening at Badlands.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Anna and Brent, thanks for sharing. We love hearing stories about what happens when we listen well. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode of the Sacred Playgrounds podcast. thanks for listening to the Sacred Playgrounds podcast. This episode was produced by me, Jared Rendell, and featured Dr. Jake Sorensen, lead researcher and founder at Sacred Playgrounds, LLC. Our theme music was written and performed by Taylor Wilson. You can find his original songs wherever you get your music. Learn more and connect with the Sacred Playgrounds team at sacredplaygrounds.com.